Nerds of the TTW Clan, welcome back. First and foremost, I hope everybody has a good Christmas, happy holidays, wherever you are. Stay safe, stay warm, stay being you. Because we love you. We love your fucking faces. We got some shit we need to discuss today. We're going to recap Saturday night's main event and John Cena's final match against Gunther, where he did not pass out as we had predicted. He straight taps out, gives Gunther his flowers, basically. Also, going through this, we are going to cover the Austin Theory was revealed last Monday as the Masked Man. We're going to talk about that and his potential with Paul Heyman and the possibility if there might be another Masked Man to be revealed. Bron Breakker, he keeps going back and forth on getting his promo game worked on. He's been dropping, I think he dropped about two or three just insanely good promos. Punk finally fired back. One of our biggest questions now is, are they going to have a face-to-face promo battle? The spoilers leaked that Carmelo Hayes is going to beat Ilya Dragunov for the United States title on the pre-taped December 26th SmackDown. So Friday night, whoever leaked it, it's leaked. Melo's going to be a new United States champion. We're going to talk about what that means for both Carmelo Hayes and Ilya Dragunov. And then we are going to go into the awards, the Pro Wrestling Awards. Sports Illustrated dropped the Pro Wrestling Awards, and WWE got their ass kicked in almost all the major ones. And is TKO even going to fucking care if they did or not? Will the product get better? And lastly, unfortunately, Dirty Dom, Dominic Mysterio, got a separated shoulder in the AAA match. His dad, Rey Mysterio, was actually the one that gave him the DDT. So there's a bad chance that he's out for a good while. With all that being said, so, Haystack.
Deal.
What do you want to bitch about?
Whatever you want to first.
All right. I guess we can just start off quick and we'll just go over Saturday night's main event, because I got a big bitch here toward the end when we go over a specific obvious retirement match. Probably the best one so far. I didn't really know what I was expecting, to be honest. I mean, obviously with how they've been, the Saturday night main events, like I figured, you know, probably just be some quick matches and hopefully a good retirement match. The majority of these matches were good. I was correct in knowing that the matches were really fast paced and pretty quick compared to like your average pay-per-view /PLE match. Besides the pacing and how quick they were, I thought all of them were pretty good. I had a really good time watching Saturday night's main event.
Yeah, it was definitely a better one. Better than all the rest of them, anyway.
Yeah, so let's see. I believe it opened with Cody Rhodes versus Obafemi, and it ended in a no contest. How did you like that decision?
Yeah, smart. Smart decision. There's no way Cody Rhodes beats fucking Oba. You know what I mean? It just... Yeah, that's the only way you could fucking finish that match.
Agreed. And hopefully Drew actually maybe gets a title reign now. I don't even care if it's like for a month. I feel like he deserves to win. We've been talking about it before. Cody's better at chasing the title. It's 2025, damn near 2026 actually, and there's just, you know, it's not Roman Reigns anymore. You won't need a fucking year plus, 2 year plus long title reign anymore. So hopefully Drew gets his fucking flowers.
The long-term storytelling and the long title reigns is nice, but it's almost like overplayed now. It's like there for a while, that's all we ever fucking bitched about, right? Like me and you going back and forth. There's never long-term storytelling. There's never fucking long title reigns, you know, blah, blah, blah. Then we finally get it, but then it's like overplayed. You know, it's like everything's fucking long-term storytelling, you know, like, long title reigns, long fucking this, long fucking that. Like, we don't need it every time. You gotta have moderation.
Every time, every story, yeah. Absolutely. I mean, it doesn't even matter with the title reign. Long-term story. I mean, it took him like 3 years for them to quote-unquote turn Austin Theory babyface from breakup from the group. But yeah, literally everything's long-term storytelling. Cody doesn't need the fucking title going into Mania. I mean, does he? He doesn't need to be champ. It's not like I hate him as a champion. I just feel like it wouldn't hurt him if Drew were to beat him and hold the title for a little bit.
If they keep going, I mean, this is kind of, you know, going back on what I said, but like I said, sometimes the long-term storylines are good, but if they can keep it interesting with Cody and Drew and somehow keep that going into Mania, and then you have Drew versus Cody at Mania, then, yeah, Cody keeping the belt until Mania is fine if Drew's going to fucking win. You know what I mean? But
yeah,
if
absolutely.
Yeah, if not, then if fuck, I don't know. Rumble, maybe. Maybe Elimination Chamber, Drew beats him. I don't know when he loses it, but he doesn't need to take it into Mania. I can agree with that. Unless, like I said, unless they have Drew versus Cody is one of the main events or whatever it is.
Yeah, that would be pretty sick though, getting Drew in a Mania main event, gets his flowers for once.
Yeah, instead of, what, 5 minutes and 12 seconds?
It's been, what, like 3 times now that Cody's beaten Drew? 2 or 3 times already?
Yeah, it's been, yeah.
Yeah, so, I mean, I don't know what the fuck we're doing here. If he's not going to win the title in this next, you know, with his next match, he's going to lose to Cody for a 4th time. I don't know. I'll just be really fucking confused and wonder what the fuck we're doing here with keeping this feud going.
I'm with you on that. Usually they do a 2-3 match feud, but if the same guy wins a couple times in a row, they just end the fucking feud because it's like there's no point in it anymore.
Yeah, it's fucking stupid. I believe after that we got Sol Ruka beating Bayley via pinfall.
Very good match.
Yeah, a clean too. I predicted Sol to win with the interference from an accidental Lyra. No, maybe I predicted Bayley and thought Zarya was going to turn heel, actually.
And then I predicted Sol to win, but with interference from, what's her fucking name? Lyra. Yeah, I thought Lyra was going to, like, do something stupid and screw Bayley over, but neither one of those things happened. It was a clean win.
Yeah, I mean, Bayley doesn't get enough props, man. She loves putting over young talent that she knows is, you know, the future of professional wrestling. She does it all the time. She doesn't even need to be asked to. She just puts talent over. I love her. She just needs to change her fucking theme. At least the opener, the intro into her theme song needs to be gone. And just maybe, I don't know, just anything but a rose plant. Besides that,
yeah.
I mean, I love her. I love her to death.
Yeah, well, there's quite a few women's finishing moves that are not good.
Yeah, the rose plant, the oblivion, Naya's finisher, when the camera catches it incorrectly, which they always do these days.
See, I fucking love Sol, but I fucking hate her finishing move because it.
You don't like the Sol Snatcher, man? I thought that looked fucking sick.
Looks good, but it's just like, it's just like, what's her name? Liv Morgan. With her move, they gotta, like, stand there all awkwardly, or, like, bend over, you know, or whatever, all awkwardly while she had, so then she still has time to, like, run to the ropes and then come and grab them.
Oh, yeah.
You know, it's just.
She does it kind of stupid in the in between time, and
yeah.
Obviously with the Sol Snatcher, it's like the opponent's got to, like, you know, help get in the right spot to make sure that it lands flush. So you got kind of, you know, pretend that it's fucking obviously not real. Just
if,
like,
they could figure out, yeah, if they could figure out a way to basically kind of like try to do it like out of nowhere, like the RKO, then it would be fucking. It would be so much better.
I've seen her do it in a couple of areas, different areas. Like I've seen it obviously from the turnbuckle and then the top rope, and then I think she did it off a ladder too as well. I think it's the shit though. It looks like it's a shooting star into the RKO. I thought that's like, I don't know. I thought it's great. I used that finisher in 2K.
Yeah, it's a cool look at finisher. Like I said, I just don't like how it, you know, like I said, the opponent's got to be at the right place and they just like kind of stand there and
it's just kind of dumb. Like with the 619.
Yeah, it's just, yeah, exactly. It's just awkward looking, you know, but the actual move is fucking pretty badass, and fuck, there is, I could tell you right now, I couldn't pull that off, but...
Fuck no. Maybe if they can figure out a way for her to, like, do it quicker, that way it saves the time in between for the opponent to have to act stunned or whatnot. But yeah, so Sol ends up winning clean there. Obviously, eventually... Zarya is going to turn on her, or vice versa, most likely Zarya. And then, they'll probably do a program, and I don't know. Do you see Sol being called up in 2026 at all?
Yeah. Probably mid 26.
Real quick before I get into the next match... I forgot to mention that coming into this, apparently it was leaked that it was supposed to just be like a 2-hour show with just like John Cena tributes and then the retirement match. And then Cena was like, no. He's like, get all the young talent on this fucking card, please. You don't need to fucking do a 2-hour tribute to me. So,
man, I want to know how much is that's actually like true. Because I actually do feel like Cena said that. Like he actually did. Say like, yeah, we're not gonna do that because it just how he is with the business or whatever. But I don't know. I've seen so much shit that I don't know if it's true or not. But because I seen one thing that said Cena wanted to do like pretty much the whole fucking year, like retirement thing, and then WWE said no, only like this amount of fucking dates or whatever, so that's why he had the fucking 36 or whatever the fuck it was. I don't even remember now, but so it's
unfortunate, this whole thing. There's some bright moments with Cena's last run farewell tour, but there's just been a lot of just depression, just like
yeah, it's
been booked so much better. But you know, I mean, I'm happy that Uli's got fucking Oba, and then Javon, Leon Slater, and Sol. I'm glad that he fucking at least was like, hey, like, I'm obviously, like, leaving, you know? I've been here for 25 years. Put some of the future on this card. How about that? Stop. Don't waste an hour and a half giving me a fucking tribute. You can do that at the Hall of Fame.
Yeah. Well, yeah, anymore, dude. It's watching, like, video packages and shit is, like, I mean, I get it, like, you know, if somebody fucking passes away or whatever, or even if they did, you know what they should have done? Fuck what I was going to say. What they should have done is, instead of fucking running commercials probably 5 fucking minutes, they should have just gave us a fucking John Cena video package for fucking 2 minutes and then went back to the fucking match.
Yeah, I mean, that makes total sense, too. And they could have done that because it wasn't... Because it was strictly a Peacock show. So, I mean, there was... The only commercials that we had were about wrestling. So, I don't know why the fuck they didn't just capitalize on that one. That's true. Yeah, they could have just legitimately just...
Well, because then you have the best of both worlds there, right? You have... You still kind of fucking honor what Cena said and like... You know, having younger talent and not making the entire show about him, but also at the same time, you're still kind of making the entire show about him.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? You get the best of both worlds there because, fuck, dude, commercials are fucking dumb.
Yeah, I hate them really bad. See, so the co-main event, there were only 4 matches on this card, by the way. The co-main event was a tag match with the tag team champs AJ Styles and Dragon Lee versus Javon Evans and Leon Slater, TNA guy. NXT and a TNA guy partner up to tag in the tag match, and I thought it was fucking great. I thought it was a great tag match. Again,
yeah, pretty good match. Yeah,
quick. It was short. I wish these matches would be longer. It's almost the same with NXT most of the time too. For some reason, the matches almost feel like they always end right when it's about to start cooking. Like
I feel like
right
that's how
it's about ready to go. You know,
I feel like that's the whole how the whole fucking every time. Like every PLE, everything. It's like right when the match is starting to get good, then the next thing you know, it's 1, 2, 3, and you're like, "What the fuck, dude? The match is just getting good." You know, you're finally getting me like involved in this thing, you know, and then it just ends.
Yeah, I mean that's really my only gripe with that show, with that Saturday Night Main Event show, was just how, you know, exactly what you were saying. Like, right when we're getting invested, getting into it, the match is just in. It's like, well, that's anticlimactic, whatever. And this,
well, now with fucking AJ Lee announcing that he was done next year, after next year, how long is he gonna keep the tag titles, you think? Mania, maybe?
That'd be cool. I mean, I don't really see a reason to break them up at this moment. It's a way.
No, there's no reason right now.
Yeah, I mean, it's working. Finally, have a legitimate like tag titles being defended on a more regular basis. Do you think it's gonna be? I guess Mania might make the most sense. Just retire after Mania. I'm not sure how long his contract is as far as 2026, like when it expires. But that's what I would do. Like, if I wrestled for that long, I would just end my career at WrestleMania. Because where the fuck else would you end it at?
Saturday Night Main Event.
Yeah. Yeah. So, do you... fuck, there's two different names for this tag team. I forgot what the other one was. But do you use AJ Lee as this tag team name?
No, because that's too much like AJ Lee.
I know. That's funny about it. Funny, it's good shit. This brings us to our main event. This one I believe went 25 minutes around there. This is John Cena's final match, his retirement match against Gunther. Oh man, I was not ready for that. I didn't get as sad as I thought I was going to. I don't know, I mean, I was obviously like after everything ended, it's when it really hit me, but in the moment it's just, you know, I was just trying to enjoy everything. I originally predicted that Cena was obviously going to lose to Gunther, but I thought he was just going to just pass out, you know?
Same.
And I was like, well, I figured, you know, if that way, if Cena passes out, then, you know, he technically never gave up, and that stays true to the character that he's had for 20 years. And, yeah, I think that's how it works. And then Gunther can get put over, and he can be, you know, a big heel, and everyone can hate him. And then... And then, yeah, they did the classic. Gunther had him in the choke or in the sleeper hold. And then the ref, which I haven't seen in WWE for a good while, they did the classic, you know, they held Cena's arm up to see if it would drop, and they were waiting. And I think it did it 2 or 3 times, and then by the third time, like, Cena held it so it didn't let it drop all the way. And then he kept trying to fight back, but Gunther just kept getting him into the sleeper hold throughout, like, the entire match. And he was working his head as well, and he was working other limbs, targeting other body parts. And then eventually, Cena got one last, he got out one last time, and that's when we're like, okay, Super Cena, how's this gonna end? But then Gunther, again, he goes after his head, he kind of gives him an elbow to his neck, a couple of them, puts him in the sleeper hold again. And then Cena has a moment. They were in there for about maybe, I don't know, 90 seconds or so. Cena has a moment, kind of grins at us through the camera, and then fucking taps out. So Gunther submitted John Cena and retired him.
Greatest ending ever, man.
Fans are so pissed. They are, I mean, obviously there, but fans like outside of, you know, from that event are pissed as shit. Like, I, from like one in, like, I could understand maybe a tiny bit if I had paid that much money to go see that live, possibly, but I didn't pay any money to see it live. So,
dude, I don't know if I was
how many of those fans like paid money thinking that Cena was gonna win. So, I mean, that's their fault there.
Okay, first of all, if any true wrestling fan, real wrestling fan, thought that Cena was gonna win his last match, they're fucking retarded.
Yeah, I mean, yeah.
Because
I
that's
mean,
not
no way he was losing that shit, or no way he was winning at all.
That's not how they go out. They you know, like old school guys, people like guys that respect the business and shit, they always go out on their back, always, and they always put over the next person. You know what I mean? So for anybody that thought Cena was gonna win, stupid. Stupid.
So, yeah, and not only did Cena put over Gunther, like, he fucking put a rocket on him, strapped a rocket ship on him, because, yeah, he could have fucking he could have put Gunther over by passing out to a submission, sure. Gunther's already established, he's already, you know, like, a cocky, overconfident heel, so sure, that would have worked too. But he fucking tapped out. Let's be clear, guys. John Cena in his entire career has tapped out 4 total times. Chris Jericho in 2002, Kurt Angle in 2003, and then Chris Benoit in that same year in 2003.
Ooh, can't say that name.
Oh, man. Benoit. So before Gunther, Chris Benoit was the last person to tap John Cena out all the way back in 2003. Like, what in the fuck are we talking about here, guys? Like, how does that not cement Gunther as maybe the biggest heel in the entire industry right now? I don't know what else to tell you.
People are still pissed. And what, Saturday night main event was what, week ago, week and a half ago, whatever fuck it was?
Still pissed. Everyone's pissed.
And I don't understand it, dude. It was like the perfect fucking ending. It was almost, to me, and I don't know, but to me, it was like Cena was basically like, never give up, all that shit, whatever. And when he tapped out, like, he smiled, and it was kind of like, I don't have to be that guy anymore.
Yeah, but he was also kind of like realizing at the same time, it's like, dude, I'm tired. I can't get out of this shit. He's just going to keep coming after me, man. I was like, there's no way. I was like, I've exhausted all my fucking energy. And then obviously we can go back to it's been a whole thing now since it dropped a week and a half ago. Now everyone's fucking using it. Bubba Ray, Bully Ray Dudley, tweeted, like right after the match ended, about it kind of like being Obi-Wan Kenobi, and had the picture of the screenshot of when Obi-Wan had a grin on his face right before Darth Vader kills him, basically. So that was a topic of discussion for a little bit. And then Cena comes out on Instagram and posts the same picture of Obi-Wan Kenobi winking. There was no, like, description or anything. It was just that picture. So I don't know if that was, like, what he was going for, or if he just, you know, saw Bubba's tweet and was like, yeah, you know what, that makes sense too. But either way, like,
I don't know. He did that fucking interview with Cody Rhodes already, that little podcast thing or whatever.
Yeah, it was like if ChatGPT was I watched it, and it was almost as if it would be like if ChatGPT and a German were talking, cuz like,
well,
questions were answered without answering them.
That's how Cena's been his entire career. That dude never answers questions. He answers them, but he doesn't answer them. Like, I don't know. I fucking hate it. But anyway,
2 hours of confusion.
Everybody was like, oh, they're doing damage control now because everybody's pissed because he tapped out. Like, all this shit. They got to do this fucking interview now. Like, you know, all this shit. I'm like, dude, there's no damage control to be had. Like, I don't understand why everybody's so mad about this fucking tap out, dude. I don't know. It was 20-some years of him never giving up and, like, all this shit. But, like, he's done now. So, like, it's okay to give up. You know what I mean?
Yeah, and also, you know, in my opinion, if Cena, even though that's what I originally came with the prediction to, because I didn't really look far beyond that. It just, I was like, oh, he's not going to, whatever. There's no way he gives up. But so I see him just passing out. But in hindsight now, if Cena were to have passed out instead of tapping, I don't think it would have hit the same. Because not only that, but the actual visual of seeing Cena tap, like him accepting defeat, like that's, I think that's everything. I think him, like, acknowledging defeat was necessary, like, because his entire legacy is the guy for 20 to 25 years that would never give up. So the only way to really put Gunther over is to force Cena to make the one choice that he hasn't made since 2003. Like, I feel like that part there is, like, the whole story to it. I think that is the story. Acknowledging that defeat is the story. Like, and obviously, the fans, they couldn't really emotionally disconnect from the fact that John Cena fucking tapped out. He gave up. But that's what makes Gunther's character now. Like, he's going to be a retirement killer.
Yeah, I think that's more or less what it was. It's like people just, like, couldn't disconnect themselves from... I don't know. Maybe they didn't... Maybe it was just one of the things where they were hoping the match was never going to end. You know?
Or so hoping when that Cena would win for whatever fucking reason that, yeah, that was happening. And that's on you guys.
Yeah, I don't know. When it happened, I was stunned. I was speechless when he tapped out. I was like...
Yeah, man, I was fucking speechless for like 5 minutes. I didn't know what to think.
Yeah, I just stared at my TV. I was like, what the fuck, dude? And then after a few minutes, I pressed him, like, yeah, that was actually fucking beautiful.
Yeah, it was fucking poetic. Because heroes... Not every hero has to survive. Like, heroes have to die, man. Sometimes the villain has to win. That's just how it goes.
Well,
and if that isn't more evident than that Monday following Saturday night's main event in a random Hershey fucking Pennsylvania, by the way, shitty fucking crowd, Gunther comes out to the one of the fucking most fucking craziest heat that I've heard in a little bit now. And he didn't say a whole lot. He came out and he's like, yeah, I made Cena tap. Crowd fucking gave it to him, just getting nuclear heat. And he starts walking away. He's like, fuck this. He comes back, grabs the mic, gets him on the announce table. He's like, I made John Cena tap like a little bitch.
Comes back, dude. Just comes back.
Yeah, just fucking nuclear heat. And there's a lot of people are obviously pissed about that too, because they're all, you know, well, that doesn't make sense for Gunther's character to call him a little bitch because, you know, he's... What? How does that make any sense? He's not that arrogant. And it's like, well, no, he's kind of always been an arrogant prick.
Always.
And he just got his confidence back over the summer, so that was a whole story that they told back then.
Yeah.
So before that, he's always been overconfident. So you put those two together, and you tap out the GOAT, who hasn't tapped out since 2003. And that makes perfect sense. Like, dude, that's way more confidence than you thought he would have. So I don't know what the fuck.
I think it's more or less people don't watch, like, actually pay attention. If you got to pay attention to fucking what they say, their body language, the fucking facial expressions that they make. Gunther's always been an arrogant fuck, dude.
Mm-hmm.
Even just with, he doesn't even have to say shit. He just, the way he looks at other guys, you know, just... So, yeah, that doesn't even make sense to say that it's not, like, it goes against his character, because that doesn't make sense.
And then you ask the question then, when they do that shit, you're like, okay, so then who should it have been? Who do you think...
Everybody wanted fucking LA Knight, dude. No, I'm not going to sit here and fucking say... That's not what everybody wanted, because everybody fucking wanted LA Knight. I don't understand why.
Or
but
Edge.
That, yeah, they it or Edge or Jericho or whoever. And when the tournament first started, I was one of them guys that was like, all right, hopefully it'll be a fucking an older guy, you know? And then as it like went on, I'm like, yeah, it's fucking gonna be Gunther. And you know, why would it not be?
Yeah, it just makes too much sense, you know. It's just like he retires Goldberg and then now he gets the honor of doing that. I think the only thing that kind of sucks about that whole tournament is obviously because Gunther was just putting on fucking bangers through this. So they were clearly like, okay, let's just feed fucking banger matches and have Gunther, you know, work with this person or that person. I think, I don't know how long, if it would have been into the finals or semifinals, but I think the idea was to have it eventually be Gunther versus Sheamus just for a huge banger match. And then Sheamus got hurt, so they kind of had to fuck around a little bit and tweak some shit. But yeah, it was always going to be Gunther at the end of the day. The only other person, like when I asked that question, is like who else could it have realistically been somebody who would have been able to both generate and take nuclear heat. The only other person that would have made sense would have been Randy Orton. But that's besides that, I can't name you a single fucking person that I think would have been better.
Fuck, dude, could have been Dom, too.
Yeah, could have been Dom. True.
Could have taken that fucking heat, dude. That kid's fucking amazing.
That's true. I didn't think about that. Yeah, so Dom or Randy. But besides that, I mean, I don't know what the fuck people were crying about.
It's because nobody likes Gunther because he's a technical wrestler.
Well, it's not even that. They don't even use that word. All he does is chop, man.
No, or yeah, I see that a lot too. But
you can't cut a promo.
He's boring. He's boring. He just chops. He fucking whatever. Like, dude, in my eyes, I haven't seen like one terrible Gunther match ever.
Yeah, I think the only bad ones that I've seen are the ones with Jey Uso. I mean, but you can only do so much there.
Well, yeah, I'm glad the Usos are back together because that was a, whoo boy, I'm glad that experiment is over.
Speaking of which, like, can I bitch for a second? Like, so everyone's bitching that John Cena tapped out. Like, well, how dare Gunther make John Cena tapped out? But nobody bitched when Jey tapped out Gunther in like 3 seconds at fucking WrestleMania. Besides me, though.
You did. Like,
oh, I totally did. It was stupid.
Yeah, you were fucking pissed, dude.
It's just like, why can't we sit here and say, oh, fucking John Cena tapped out to Gunther, but now we have to hear you tapped out chance to whenever Gunther comes out because they just had to have Jey Uso submit the guy. I don't know, but I agree. I'm glad that the Usos are back together. I'm really done with that fucking shit. I really am, especially after Survivor Series. I know we already talked about that previous, but yeah, War Games, he fucking... We knew Brock Lesnar was coming out, and they had the advantage. And at War Games, he just fucking comes up, climbs the cage, and has him redo his fucking yeet shit. And he was just basically like fucking humping the top of the cage and yeeting, and then all of a sudden Brock Lesnar comes out, and it's fucking stupid.
Yeah, I don't want to get too much involved in this, because I want to fucking keep talking about Gunther, but... Have they even changed their theme music yet?
The Usos?
Yeah.
Well, at first, they did. At first, I thought it was Jimmy coming out to Jay's theme. I'm like, what the fuck are we doing? What are we doing?
Yeah, because he is, isn't he?
So I don't know if they came out to the theme, but I know for sure when the match ended, it was the both of them on there, and it's like, been down since day one-ish. And they're both.
So they just switched it and put like both of them on it.
Yeah, yeah.
But it's still like the same beat and.
Yep, exactly.
And everything. It's
song.
Just. Okay.
They're all. Instead of just Jey talking to himself, it's like, let's get it, Oos. Oh, here, I'm going to get it, Oos. Or whatever the fuck he says in the song. It's both of them are like talking. And then it's just like, been down since day one ish.
So there's that. Yeah, I was just like, this is kind of fucking embarrassing for Jimmy that. He's got to come out to, like, Jey's single theme music, you know what I mean? Like, his single run, like, you're a tag team now, like, but I guess that makes sense. Still stupid, but whatever.
Yeah, I mean, I'll take it. I mean,
anyways.
If the Yeet has to stay, I guess I'll just fucking live with the tag instead of it solo. But, yeah, anywho, So that was our thoughts on Gunther and Cena. It was
where's Gunther go now, though?
What's that?
Where's Gunther go from here, you think?
I think I don't know, like, in this instance, what his next feud is, but I think he becomes a retirement merchant. Because I honestly think that Brock Lesnar retires at SummerSlam, because it's in Minnesota this year.
Oh,
in his
nice.
Hometown. So I think he's gonna become like the retirement guy. I mean, he'd already tapped out John Cena. Well, made Goldberg retire. Then he retired Cena by making him tap. If he fucking hits Brock and then AJ Styles, I mean, you can just keep this thing going for as long as you want to. People are just going to hate him for life. Be one of the best heels in the business.
Well, I agree partially with that, because I don't think he gets the same amount of heat if he retires Brock Lesnar, but
yeah. AJ Styles, though.
But AJ Styles, yes, he will, yeah.
I don't see the heat. The heat wouldn't be a part of the Lesnar thing. It would just be like, holy shit, Bart, you just fucking... What if he made Brock Lesnar tap? Can you imagine that shit?
That would be awesome.
And it just gets him more over as a monster heel?
That would actually probably be the most the perfect thing that they could do.
And now it's like you can make those predictions because John Cena, out of all people, tapped out to him. So
yeah, right. So it's not like crazy to think that Lesnar would too, you know.
So I'm excited. I don't know. What do you think they do with him though? Like for now, who do you think he feuds with next?
Well, the first thing I think he does is get his IC title back.
Yeah, speaking of which, we can merge that in. So yeah, the IC champion, Dirty Dom, got hurt during the show this weekend. His dad separated his shoulder, and they don't know how long he's going to be out for, but I would imagine that he's definitely vacating that title.
Yeah, because I mean, we know about separated shoulders, you know,
yeah,
Blackhawks, but whatever. So it's going to be quite some time, probably a couple months anyway, if not more.
Yeah, so he's definitely going to vacate that title. So the question becomes...
Did you watch any of that? I don't think you were watching, because what was on... Oh, it was the Bears Packers game that was on Saturday when that was, but I was watching both of them. I had the game on one TV and then the wrestling on the other one. Yeah, dude, he wasn't even like if he didn't have to move his arm, he wasn't moving it. It was just kind of like hanging there, you know. You know, if you go back and watch fucking highlights or whatever, you'll understand what I'm talking about.
Yeah, I'm gonna have to go back and watch.
It was just
watch the whole thing, probably, be my guess. Can't believe I missed that too. And you texted me, you're like, "Don't forget," and then I fucking forgot.
Dude, I'm not even gonna lie to you. The only reason I even wanted to watch that is because of the Carnival Carnage match, and that was the worst match, dude, I've ever seen.
Yeah, I've heard some bad reviews on that.
That was, dude. It started off. It started off. I'm like, dude, this is actually gonna be like a fun match, because the Wyatts were in the ring, and then I don't know the names of the just Psycho Clown. I know him or whatever, but I don't know the names of these people. So, like, you got the other four, whatever it was, and they were like in the back. So the Wyatts are in the ring, then they, you know, have like a little video camera, whatever, in the back. So they walk back to the back. Well, then there's like an actual like little carnival set up, right? So you're like, oh, dude, this is actually like, this is going to be fun, you know? And that, I forget who it was now, but one of them ran in, and got into a bouncy house, and they were like fighting in the bouncy house, dude. It was like, all right, this is going to be exactly what I wanted it to be. Just a fun, quirky little match, you know, with maybe some carnage here and there or whatever. It seemed like they did that for like 30 seconds and then went back to the ring. And then after that, there was like no fucking carnage, dude.
Man, yeah, I've heard it was fucking awful. So what does that do? Was that for a tag title, or was it just to have a match?
It was just to have a match, because the Wyatts lost, so...
So they kept them off TV for this long just to do that match and lose?
Yeah, just to lose and to have just a terrible fucking match, dude. Terrible fucking match. Shit.
Is it as bad as that Bray Wyatt versus Orton fucking house horror, whatever the fuck match that was?
Yeah.
Like House of Horrors or whatever. You know what I'm talking about, right? It was like a...
Probably worse. Probably worse, dude. It was...
Man.
Because I'm sitting here like, all right, Mexico, right? AAA, they're a little more edgier than WWE. I know WWE owns them or whatever, but like they're more, a little more edgier, you know? And also got a little more comedy involved and shit. So I was like, okay, this is going to be like a comedy match, but also like I said, like a fucking kind of like a hardcore match or whatever as well. You know, like you're going to laugh and you're going to be like, holy shit, I can't believe that had nothing. Nothing.
So what else made the match bad? Like, was it just a straight up just fucking wrestling match and nothing happened really?
Yeah, pretty much. They powerbombed one guy through a table in the back, and then he was like out of the match for a while, and I think they might have brought in a table, if I remember correctly, in the ring. And yeah, then all of a sudden, like, the Wyatts are, like, beating the shit out of everybody, whatever. And then that dude that got powerbombed, he fucking comes back with a kendo stick and starts hitting people with that. And, like, that was it. And then I was, like, watching it, and I'm like, yeah, this is fucking not what I thought it was going to be.
That was the main event, right?
No. Dom and...
Oh, yeah.
Americano versus Ray and... Ray Phoenix, Ray Mysterio, and Ray Phoenix.
Because yeah, Ray Mysterio got the pin on his kid again.
Yeah, but...
Not that it matters, it's a tag team match, but just like, why is he always fucking pinning his kid?
Yeah, dude, it was just terrible, man. I was just like, what the fuck are we even doing here, dude? You know, like, I don't know.
Was it as bad as the Lumberjack Zombie match?
I don't think it was that bad. I don't think so. You know that fucking psycho clown though. He like has like two masks or whatever. So yeah, he has the one mask that he wears, and then once he goes like psycho or whatever, he rips the top layer off, and then you know what I'm talking about.
Yeah, his character's awesome. He's got good character work.
Yeah, so the match is going on, and I'm thinking like it's still got probably, you know, 10 minutes or so left. So that he like gets all fucking hyped up, and he rips his other mask off and exposes that like fleshy face and shit. And then and then he just like beats the shit out of it and wins the match, and it's over. And I was like, what the fuck are we doing? So it was fucking terrible, man. I was so mad. Cause like I was like paying more attention to that than the fucking game that I should have been paying attention to.
Oh, man.
so pissed.
Of emotions during that game.
Oh fuck, dude. I'm not mad about it.
Yeah. So after the Saturday night's main event, we go to Raw. As we discussed, Gunther just got insane nuclear heat. And as it was happening, I think I texted you. I was like, I'm watching this with a fucking smile on my face.
Yeah,
this is exactly why that was the right decision.
Well, I sent you that video. They were like, they were fucking flipping out, like throwing shit, I think. I can't remember, but they were like fucking cussing at him and shit as he was like walking to his bus after the match. Like, dude, that was like, no, dude, that's like old school fucking heat, you know what I mean?
Yeah, I don't understand why people hate Gunther. Like, who's doing this? Who's fucking... He's an old-school cat. I think that's why I liked him to begin with. Because he just got, like, an old-school wrestling style. And so he just fucking... He does everything old-school. And it's... I don't know what the fuck people's problem is. But, Yeah, because then he had a little segment with AJ Styles too. They kind of teased that when he was quote unquote forced to leave. You know, fucking ran into AJ Styles by his car in the parking lot.
Yeah. Is that kind of like foreshadowing a fucking feud, or is that like foreshadowing a retirement match? You know what I mean?
Man, hopefully both.
Well, I mean, I it will be both, obviously, right? Because they'll have a feud if they do a retirement match. But yeah, it's definitely going to be interesting.
Can't wait for those matches, dude. Those are going to be fucking great. Because the WWE universe really hasn't seen a lot of as far as Gunther working with a bunch of different type of wrestling styles. But I mean, he came from a place where he works with anybody. I mean, he's put on some bangers with Will Ospreay. He's had some with fucking Sabre. So him versus Styles, I think he might shut some people up after the him and Styles match or feud. So I'm happy for that. What else happened on that Raw? Really not a whole lot besides I do want to point out Grande Americano showed up. Ludwig Kaiser, and he gave an entire promo in Spanish. Love you, Chad Gable, but you're not getting that back, bro. He took that gimmick and ran with it, and it's gone.
Yeah, there's people that still hate that, too, and I don't understand, but...
Dude, I was laughing so hard. Like, obviously, I didn't know what he was saying, because I don't speak Spanish, but he sat there for like 2 minutes and gave a whole backstage promo in Spanish.
He's good, man. Kaiser is... Fuck. Once that's over, dude, I hope that once this little, like, you know, gimmick's over, I hope they just fucking catapult him to the fucking top, dude.
Poor guy, man. Poor guy. And, yeah, they're kind of fucking him there. And then, of course, him and Tiffany Stratton broke up.
Yeah, well, he can do better.
Yeah. Trying to think. So the last thing that I really... Well, actually, there was one other one before the last one. Bron Breakker has been cutting some really good fucking promos.
Yeah.
And then CM Punk came out last week on Raw and cut a really good one. Said some shit. He brought some, like, Styromath into it. Talked about, you know, him being a dumb fuck and talking about how both of him, his dad and Scott, are dumb fucked. And it was a pretty good one. I'm hoping. Do you think that we get a back and forth promo yet from them, or do you think they wait until like later, around whenever the fuck they decide to actually give Breakker the title?
Dude, I honestly only think maybe like one face to face promo, because I think you texted me and we were talking about it, but. Cena's gonna fucking eat him alive, man. Or Cena. Punk's gonna fucking eat him alive, dude. He's gonna fucking eat him alive face to face.
Yeah, it's, yeah, I mean, he fucking ate him alive, just not face to face. He said some shit, man. But at some point, man, if Braun's gonna be the guy, he's gonna have to do it.
I mean, yeah, you have to do. You're gonna have to fucking, yeah, man up. And, I mean, it's not really his decision, but, you know, yeah, he'll have to fucking man up and go face to face. And if you get fucking out promo, that's just, then you go back to the fucking drawing board to figure out the fuck you did, you know, and come back better, whatever. But he's always had pretty decent promos anyway. I mean, I'm not going to say that, Bron Breakker's had shit promos, because he's pretty good at promos, but these have just been, like, next level for him. So, I don't see, maybe a couple more. When are they gonna fucking, oh yeah, January 5th, right?
Yeah, January 5th, Raw.
Raw.
For the title.
So that's, what, fucking 2 weeks away?
Yep. Question is, Is that where they give Bron Breakker the moment, or are they going to wait for a bigger stage? Like Mania.
See, I was thinking about that, and I'm still torn. Like, well, not torn, but I'm still, like, on the fence, because I don't think that Breakker wins at the on Raw, but at the same time, I think he's gonna win. Like I'm on the fence there because it's a year after the fucking Netflix thing or whatever. They're gonna want to do something fucking huge. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And what bigger thing can they do than to have Breaker fucking beat Punk for the World Heavyweight Championship? So I'm on the fence because I guess I want to see him win at Mania, but I mean if we get it on Raw, then you know whatever.
It's gonna be because, interesting for sure.
And the other thing is I don't think the fucking plan was for Punk to be fucking champion.
Yeah, if I were to guess, I was thinking that feud was gonna. I was thinking he was gonna get it at Mania or some shit if Rollins didn't get hurt.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I don't think the plan was for Punk to be champion yet. But then, you know, Rollins got hurt, shit happens, whatever. But so it's kind of like if they do have him win on Raw, it's not really like that big of a deal, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, it is for him, whatever, but I don't know. I think you know what I'm trying to say here.
It's going to be interesting for sure. I do see a pretty good probability that maybe he actually does. Maybe Breaker actually does win, because then you can be like, yeah, so you got to catch Raw now because shit happens here. I mean, it could either be that, or if they do like Cody versus Drew, maybe that's where Drew can fucking take one for the team and fucking win the title.
Well, because what I was thinking was going to happen is Breaker's going to lose on Raw. On the year anniversary of Raw, Netflix, he's going to lose there. He'll go and win either the Rumble or the Elimination Chamber, and then obviously he'll face Punk and then take it at Mania.
So you're thinking Punk might get back-to-back main events, Mania main events, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's going to be good. It's gonna be good. I mean, Punk ain't a fucking slouch. I mean, obviously he's old, and you can tell that like he's slowed down a lot in the ring. But if you give him the right guy to work with in the ring, that can tell a pretty good story in there. For the most part, it's not like he's like this fucking amazing in-ring worker anymore. But I think he's good enough to where it could be passable and get some bangers out of it.
Yeah, he's good enough now.
With that, the last thing on that Raw last week was at the end of the show, the Masked Man came back in and then exited and then took off his mask, and it was Austin Theory, as we had, as we predicted. And some people were kind of like, meh about it, which is fine, because obviously there isn't a whole big of a track record of, is this going to work out with Austin Theory, but I just think there's a lot of potential there if they take this seriously, with Paul Heyman being a mentor. So, I don't know, man. What did you think of the reveal?
I thought it was like,
yeah.
I thought it was premature.
Do we think?
I would have rather seen. See, what I would have rather seen is on that fucking January 5th Raw. That's when he comes out, fucking hits Punk. That's how Breaker wins. Then he fucking reveals to the world who it is, and that's how it went down. But so I think it was just kind of felt like rushed and like premature. And I kind of get why people are just like, yeah, who cares?
At the same time, though, I gotta actually give Triple H some props here that he actually did something that wasn't fucking 3 years in the making. I don't know. Do you think that maybe this is just a distraction for the next, for a second Masked Man, maybe Ricky Saints or somebody that does that in that match you're talking about on January 5th?
I mean, the second one would be... That would be pretty cool. If they had two, yeah.
Because there's... Two different, they look different too. If you will go back,
and
there's definitely different builds going on. I don't know. I'm hoping that we're all just kind of like, that would be a night about Austin Theory, you know. But then January 5th happens, and then Austin Theory comes out, and it's like, okay, whatever. And then I don't know, he gets beat up or some shit. But then a fucking masked man comes out later and fucks over Punk. Breaker wins.
That'd be all right. Be Rollins this time.
That'd be wild, man.
Yeah, it'd be crazy, but I don't know.
Me, Austin.
I don't know, because how big are we going to make this faction, dude?
I think there's one last member.
Are we going to fucking
you
NWO
have to be
Jake this?
Cargill.
Are we going to NWO this bitch? Is everybody's part of the vision, dude?
Fuck it, man. You know who I do? I think we talked about this last time. I would have one be Jade Cargill. Just fucking have her stop talking on a microphone. For the love of fuck, man.
Yeah, I think we talked about that last time because it's fucking terrible. Oh, man. Just god awful, dude.
I can't. I cannot with her, man. I can't. Let's see here. Oh, okay. So, yeah, December 26th, Friday, this Friday, it has been leaked that Ilya Dragunov, the reigning, defending United States champion, loses to Carmelo Hayes.
Yeah, I saw that.
What do you think of that?
Good on Hayes. I mean, about time that they're kind of giving him a little bit of a push, because, fuck, man, he was great in NXT, dude.
Yeah, I mean, it's about time. I feel like when he got, you know, quote-unquote drafted as the number one pick, they kind of just didn't do anything with him besides...
Yeah, they haven't done shit. Put him with The Miz. I mean, that was about the most memorable fucking thing, or at least that I can remember anyway, that they did with him.
Yeah, well, they started off with a fucking best of seven with Andrade, who's now gone.
Oh, yeah, I forgot about that. That was fucking... That was good.
Which was fire until the seventh one where LA Knight just ruined everything.
Yeah, of course, because that's all he does is fucking ruin everything.
So, yeah, I mean, I'm looking forward to see what this match is going to be. I mean, I'm thinking it's got to be a banger. I mean, all these Ilya Dragunov matches have been fucking bangers, so I can't imagine Melo versus Ilya. What does that do next for Ilya, then? Does he just stay in the scene? In the U.S. title scene, or
no, he's get catapulted up, maybe higher mid card, IC title scene, maybe have a couple like main event, you know, championship matches or something. I wouldn't mind seeing him become the world heavyweight champion, to be honest with you, or even WWE champion. I don't give a shit. I wouldn't mind seeing either one of those.
Yeah, I mean, that would definitely be a fucking breath of fresh air of Cody not being against Drew for the 1,000th time, or it being Drew versus Ilya. I'll fucking do that match too if Drew actually gets the fucking title for once.
Well, I was even thinking about, yeah, him and Breaker, dude. If Breaker wins the heavyweight championship, oh man, that would probably be fucking pretty damn good match there too.
That's, yeah, I mean, that would be fire. They've had fucking classics already too.
Yeah, right.
So yeah, I think that leaves us with the last thing here tonight, and that is the Pro Wrestling Awards have been announced.
Yeah.
And let's just say that WWE didn't win a lot.
It didn't win much, did they? They kind of sad.
Kind of sad for sure. Let me see if I can pull this article up here.
Yeah, I forget. I know AEW won like the real big one, but I don't remember who all won like everything or whatever. I'd have to go back in our text and
let's see. Okay, so I have. So we got Storyline of the Year. That went to Hangman Adam Page's Redemption Arc. One story of the year.
I don't know about that, but.
Rivalry of the year went to Hangman Page and Jon Moxley. You watch more AEW than I do, but I'm pretty sure I watched that match and it was decent. It was pretty good.
I actually haven't watched AEW in months, dude.
I heard it's been almost as bad as WWE.
Well, I was watching it. Well, at first I just started watching it just as background noise because there's like nothing on Wednesday. And actually, I think ever since hockey started, I haven't watched it.
Yeah, we got Wednesday rivalries every Wednesday for hockey. Got to watch those. Heel turn of the year went to Naomi, which I guess is solid. Yeah, I'm trying to think of a different one.
Yeah, I did like that, actually, for her.
Best on the mic. Now, I guess they're just doing, it could be anyone, female or male. And they went with Toni Storm.
Well, deservingly so, I think, because she is good, dude.
Yeah, I love her. Shouldn't have let her go, but there just wasn't enough space to keep everybody.
So now that does bring up, because you said you don't know if they, or you think they just do everyone, obviously, but should they do a best on the mic women and men's? I mean, I don't want to separate it, but.
I think so. I think it'd be easier to separate it, but.
Well, because, I mean, that just, I mean, it's kind of. It's also kind of really huge for her if they even care about these awards anyway, you know, whatever. But it's kind of huge for her too, knowing that she fucking beat out all the men too.
Yeah,
you know,
especially
I mean,
the ones in WWE, because obviously, you know, AEW is where the best wrestle, but WWE is where all the good promos are. So to fucking do that,
right, right.
This isn't a surprise, but best in the ring goes to Will Ospreay.
Yeah. Well, I don't know about that, but yeah, whatever. I mean, he's good, but I want to know how they decide this, you know, like what's the criteria that they use?
Yeah, I need to know that as well. Because I mean, there's so many different things that can make a wrestler good in the ring. It doesn't have to just be athleticism.
Right.
Like, honestly, I don't think Ospreay's selling's that great, if we're going to be honest. Obviously, he's athletic as a motherfucker. He's done shit that I don't see anyone do besides, you know, like a young prime AJ Styles. But when it comes to selling, it's I could take it or leave it.
Right.
The breakout wrestler of the year goes to Kyle Fletcher.
No, I agree with that one.
Comeback performer of the year goes to Ilya Dragunov.
Yeah, I mean, who else is it going to be?
Yeah, I mean, even though it hasn't been a whole lot, it hasn't been that long since he's been back, I don't really know who else you'd put there. Tag team of the year goes to FTR. Who else was it going to be? Because, you know, WWE hasn't established shit for their tag division. And apparently they're not including NXT, which I'll bring up here in a second, but NXT isn't included, I guess. But, match of the year goes to Io Sky versus Rhea Ripley versus Bianca Belair at WrestleMania 41. I was surprised they even gave them one with the way these fucking awards have been going so far.
Yeah, but that was a fucking match, though, wasn't it? Fuck.
That match was incredible. What was better, that match or Rhea versus Io at Evolution?
Probably that one.
Yeah, it was a good match. I went back and watched it like 4 times now. So the show of the year, pay-per-view of the year, goes to AEW Double or Nothing. The female wrestler of the year goes to Mercedes Moné.
No. I know I already know all these, but like some of them I forgot. And yeah, so that's why like... but no. Because why? Because she won 87 fucking titles and random bullshit fucking wrestling companies, dude.
How do you not put Io Sky there?
Exactly.
How does Io Sky not get Female Wrestler of the Year? I don't understand what the fuck that was at all.
Yeah, it's only because she won all those titles, dude. That's it. And yeah, whatever, dude. Whatever. They're fucking meaningless.
Look, I like her. I mean, Sasha Banks, Mercedes Moné, she's great in the ring, but I mean, there's no way she had a better year than Io. Io Sky was on a fucking roll. She got herself so over by being that fucking good in the ring.
Yeah, yeah. Because, I mean, the language barrier, I don't know if they overplay the accent on, you know, a little, or if that's actually, you know, how she actually talks. I don't know, right? Basically what I'm saying is her promos aren't that great.
Yeah,
you know, because of
I don't think, but I
no,
agree.
No, it's just the language barrier, whatever.
But neither are Mercedes.
Well, yeah, she can't cut a promo to save her life, Miss fucking best wrestler,
CEO,
women's wrestler. But
CEO.
But yeah, the point is, she can't really cut a promo, so like the only way she can get over is with her in-ring ability, and she was able to fucking do that. And like I said, just because she didn't win fucking 13, 14 titles in bullshit wrestling companies that...
Because it was basically the same shit with Io. Mercedes and Io, like, neither can cut a promo, but they both were great in the ring. However, one of them managed to get themselves fucking over as shit, while the other one nobody really gives a fuck about. As far as like character work and getting the fans invested,
and now she's losing all the titles. So what was it all for?
And the question is like, is the TBS title, is that more important than the actual AEW Women's Championship? And if it is, then way to fuck over Toni Storm, who's like put in insane work.
Yeah, exactly.
Like this is what I don't understand. We're giving Mercedes all these titles. Like, you'd figure that the main title is the AEW women's title. But when Mercedes eventually drops the TBS title, is it going to mean fucking anything?
I think she did drop it.
Did she? That's how much I fucking checked up.
Well, I can't remember. I don't want that to be a quote from me. Vaguely remember seeing an article about her losing it to somebody. I don't remember, but it could be wrong. But I mean, I think there are times in, I mean, obviously the main championship is always the most important championship, right? I mean, that's just a no-brainer. But I think there are times where wrestlers can like overshadow the main title with whatever title they're holding.
Yep.
Agreed. Case in point, Miz, when he was Intercontinental Champion, yeah, I cared more, you know, you care more about that IC belt than you did the fucking, the main championship, you know what I mean? So, but Mercedes wasn't fucking doing that for that TBS title.
It's not like, she was doing what Becky Lynch did for the IC title, really. It was just her.
Right.
I don't know what it was. I don't know what it was, but it was something.
It was definitely something.
So before Tony beat her this year, wasn't that her first loss?
I think so. Yeah, I think so.
In like 2 or 3 years? It's wild, man. Anywho, male wrestler of the year went to Hangman Adam Page.
Yeah, I don't know about that, but
I don't know if I would pick anyone from WWE to win that. I'm trying based on the years that everybody had. I don't know about Hangman though. I mean, I like Hangman, but I don't know if he had that good of a year. But at the same time, there's no one that I could really think of that would. That I think that should be up there with him. Can you think anyone from WWE, as far as who maybe could have been a finalist for a male wrestler of the year?
Solo.
There's Solo, yeah. He's so good. He's so funny.
Solo's been doing some great shit. I mean, I'm not saying he's wrestler of the year by any means. I'm just saying that he could have been in the conversation.
Yeah.
No, I don't. No,
Braun
not really.
Breaker go up there that much or no?
No, because I think that because he just started, you know, within like the last few months.
So then it goes down to promotion of the year, and that went to AEW. And look, I'm not gonna bitch about it because I don't. WWE didn't deserve that shit either, but honestly, I think it probably just should have been NXT, man. I wouldn't have went with either of those two choices.
Yeah, I don't. We talked about this. You texted me that, and I wasn't even thinking about NXT. But I'm assuming that NXT isn't involved in any of that because they're like kind of like a minor league thing. You know, developmental deal with for like WWE, like main roster shit. So I don't think that their promotion, like the NXT promotion, is really like its own deal or what. That's the only thing I can figure out because there should have been some NXT people on.
Yeah, Javon Evans, fucking Obafemi. I mean, Jesus Christ, you could have put Obafemi as breakout wrestler, or even, yeah, you could put either one, Javon or Obafemi, as a breakout wrestler of the year over Kyle Fletcher, even though Kyle Fletcher had a phenomenal fucking year. I don't know, but then the last award was the only choice, really, because where the fuck else were you going to go with it? The Legacy Award went to John Cena.
Yeah, I mean, that's obvious, right? But so my only thing is, does TKO and WWE even give a shit about this, or are they just kind of like, who gives a fuck?
That was gonna be a question for me as well. Yeah, I mean, seeing that they basically got fucking just owned on almost all these awards, is TKO gonna give a shit to be like, hey, we got to put a better product out there, Triple H, as well, we'll give you more control power or whatever? But I don't know, man. Just all they can give a fuck about is money and their ticket sales.
Well, that's what's sad is you're exactly right. That's all they care about. But yeah, my thing is like, if they do care about that, then, and I hope that they do kind of give somewhat of a shit, and then we start getting better product out of WWE.
I mean,
so then next year there'll be promotion of the year. You know what I mean?
Yeah, 2 years ago, they obviously won that, and then the best show was WrestleMania 41. I mean, or WrestleMania 40. I mean, the year it was really fucking hot, and we were all excited about professional wrestling and WWE again, and then it just fucking...
Professional wrestling's cool again.
Turned into a goddamn fucking nightmare.
And now it's not cool anymore. They suckered us in, man.
Now, before we leave, what do you think happens on Raw? And then I'll have a question after that.
Probably the same fucking thing that happens every Monday, dude. There'll be a few matches, obviously. I mean, you know, don't want to be Captain Obvious, but there'll be a few matches. Fucking Division will come out at some point. Talk, cut a little promo. Punk will be involved in some kind of match, I'm sure. And then Division will come out at the end and beat the shit out of him. And we all go home, dude. It's just fucking repeat, dude. Like,
what if he one-ups it and gets the best of the Vision and he beats the Vision up and then it ends?
Well, then it's the same shit, just opposite, dude. It's just the same shit, man. It just recycle, repeat, man. It just... It reminds me of how the Bloodline was.
Yeah, but at least the Bloodline was fucking interesting for a really long time.
I'm no, not saying I like
the Vision isn't interesting. It's just I don't understand. I really don't understand what's happening with them. It hurt that Seth Rollins got hurt and they had to fucking, you know, audible some shit. But I don't know. That's why I'm hoping that they have like a really good second mask reveal.
Yeah, but the thing is, dude, with Rollins being it, like Rollins never. I don't feel like he ever fit in there though. It was like the fucking edge
with the Judgment Day when fucking he created the Judgment Day.
Yeah, it was weird. It was like he was part of the Vision, but he wasn't in the Vision. Like it was a fucking it felt weird.
Yeah. It basically was the same exact shit with Edge and the Judgment Day. It was weird.
Maybe they just needed Rollins to like form the faction to like kind of get it over. You know what I mean? Because he's kind of a bigger name than Breaker and Reed were or are at the time anyway. So maybe they just needed him in there just to have that like big huge name involved in the faction to get it over. And now that once it got over, then he kind of started doing his own thing, and then obviously eventually got kicked out or whatever. I don't know. Because that's kind of how I felt with Edge. When he formed Judgment Day, it was like they needed that bigger name.
It happened so quickly, too.
Yeah, they needed that bigger name to get that faction over. And then once it finally, like, stuck and was kind of somewhat, not really over, but, you know, then whatever. And then they kicked him out. But they can end that fucking faction at any point.
Yeah, I mean, I don't hate it, but I don't love it.
It's ran its course, dude. It's ran its fucking course.
I respect that it's basically just made it a fucking stepping stone for most of them, but yeah, there's really not a whole lot you can do anymore with that. I mean, JD needs to go on his own anyway. He's too goddamn good.
Yeah.
To barely be on TV. I appreciate the fact that they have actually been showcasing him in some singles matches. I think he just got hurt again, though, didn't he?
Yeah, I think so.
Finn Balor needs to probably go out on his own, even though, I mean, I don't know if he even retires in the company, to be honest, with the way that he's kind of just been fucked over.
Yeah, they don't use him at all. I'm still fucking pissed about that, because he got hurt when he won the first Universal Championship.
Yeah, Seth fucking buckle bond him into the apron or whatever the fuck you want to call that thing, barricade.
And I know it's pro wrestling. They move quick, right? You get injured and, you know, they're moving on to the next guy, blah, blah, blah. I get it. I've been watching wrestling for fucking damn near my whole life. I understand. But when that guy comes back, you throw him in a few matches, you know, get him working again, get the fucking ring rust out, let him get back into the swing of shit, and then you throw him right back in the main event. Balor comes back and they just were like, man, fuck it.
Yeah, and what's sad is that was almost a whole decade ago.
Yeah, I know.
He won the belt, came back, and he hasn't done shit since.
Yeah, it's fucking ridiculous, man.
I'm hoping we get some more Maxine. Do you think hopefully the IC title continues to be relevant on WWE television. Hopefully get another match with her there, or set up a feud with somebody else. I don't know. I'm trying to think what else I would want to see on Raw, or how I see Raw going. I don't know. It's pre-taped, so I don't know how good it's even going to begin with.
Well, yeah, that's the other thing, too, is like how
or
much
is it
did...
pre-taped?
No, it is. It is. It was this Raw and SmackDown.
Okay.
Pretty sure we're all fucking pre-taped. So then, because I think everybody's at home now with their families for the holidays or whatever, so...
Yeah, so it might not even be that good.
Which, I mean, I can't be mad about, you know, but... But at the same time, like, if you're going to do that, then at least make the show good, you know?
Hey, we'll see, man. Carmelo Hayes beats Ilya, apparently. SmackDown, maybe something happens.
Come on. How many Raws have been fucking have we texted each other and said, holy shit, that was fucking awesome in the last, like, 4 months, dude.
Jesus Christ, I don't...
Probably a handful.
The last really good one happened not that long ago. I don't even remember which one it was now, but it was. I remember that one being really fucking good. And then
yeah, see, because the fucking shit ones are just fogging up your fucking brain, dude. They just got so many shit ones you can't even remember the last time they had a good one.
Oh man! And then to make fucking rub salt in the wound, SmackDown's moving to 3 hours.
Fuck me, dude.
I'd put Gunther on SmackDown. Be honest, they need so much. I would put so many.
They do need SmackDown. They do need a monster heel on fucking SmackDown.
Have him fucking beat Cody or something.
Because Raw kind of already has those monster heels that's in the faction.
Yep, exactly.
I mean, I guess they don't really do the whole brand splitting thing too much really anymore. Like I've seen, you know, they kind of have ventured more to, like, everybody can be on both shows. I mean, it's not all the time, but the faction's more Raw than it is SmackDown. So, yeah, if you put Gunther on fucking SmackDown, yeah, that'd be wild. They need it. They need something fresh.
Yeah, so, I mean, we'll see, man. I'm sure I'll be laughing and texting you bullshit, so... We'll see how it goes. Besides that, we are done. I think that's all we got for you guys today. We will see you next time. Thank you, Cena.
Man, Cena sucks.